Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 to get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions do apply.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 300. Hooray. That's dedicated to the man who's been on every episode, all 300, Daniel Gumby Vreeland, my co-host. I bagged some episodes off, and I'm going to skip some more soon, but Gumby Vreeland's been there every episode. And if you've listened to every episode, this one is dedicated to you as well. Thanks for coming to the show. I'm Jeff Chalks Fox, usually the chalky half, but I'm getting in on more dogs than ever. I hit three dogs last week, so look out. World. We're breaking down UFC Fight Night, Krylov versus Spann this week. Yesterday we did the prelim, so go back to episode 299 if you haven't heard that already. We got in some dogs there, and we disagreed on quite a few fights for us too. So today we've got six fights to break down on the main card of this very exciting. There are some maybe not exciting matchups, but exciting fighters on this portion of the card. So let's bring in that. The man himself, who the episode is dedicated to, Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
I'm just looking at my spreadsheet right now. Did you take four dogs last episode?
I didn't write the article yet, so maybe I did.
I think you took four dogs last episode.
Johnson. No,
don't say the names. Want to know what dogs one, took, two. Go back and listen to the previous episode.
Okay, I took three, and one of them is a pick'em. So yeah.
Three and a pick'em. All right.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to yesterday's episode so that you can see who Jeff picked.
Exactly, because I am rolling with the underdogs. Will I roll with them this on the main card? We shall see. I have flip flopped on the main event. I know who you're taking the main event. So, are you solid on the main event, or did it take you some thinking?
I mean, it takes me some thinking when you put two of the least consistent 205ers up against each other, because that's really what you have with Ryan Spann and Nikita Krylov. Because, like, you know, you look at Ryan Spann's career, and yes, there are moments where he looks really great. He looked good against Kudalaba. He looked good against Dominic Reyes. You know, he looked good when he beat Devin Clark all those years back, or when he knocked out Little Nog. But, like, the fight with Anthony Smith looked bad. The fight even with Sam Alvey, which he won, looked bad. And you could say the same thing about Krylov, right? Like, Nikita Krylov looked really good against Volkan Ozdemir out last time. He looked really good against Ovince St. Preux, which I guess that's not saying much anymore. And if you want to go back to even beforehand when he was in the UFC the previous time, he looked good fighting at heavyweight against Walt Harris and beating Walt Harris. But then, like, you know, you look at the mistakes he makes against Paul Craig or, you know, Jan Blachowicz or, you know, like Magomed Ankalaev. Like, sometimes he just looks like he forgets what he's supposed to do in a fight. So, yeah, I know it's hard to feel good about any of their fights.
Yep. Hard to feel good about that being the main event. But nonetheless, we're going to give you winning picks for it. And all the lines we're using are from WynnBET, because WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting, same game parlays, aka win bets, build your own bet. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WinBet. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100, limited to state availability. And of course, if you get the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000. Excuse me. They're giving out even more, $1,000 free credit. So much to choose from in life to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. So they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right. To the UFC Apex we go Saturday. ESPN Plus, 7 p.m. is the main card, which is a nice start time for us on the East Coast. We're going to start with lightweights. These guys are right. They are. Eric Gonzalez versus Trevor Peak. We tried to break it down yesterday, but this is a main card fight if there ever was one.
you really wanted to talk about it early, but sure. This is on the main card.
a combined 0 wins in the UFC in this fight. We got Eric the Ghost Pepper Gonzalez, 14-7, 8 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice, 0-2 in the UFC, finished in both fights. He's fight at welterweight, 2 inches taller than Peak, 5 inches of reach on him. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 3.59 strikes per minute. Not a good recipe for success. Plus 170. Peak, 7-0 with 7 knockouts. This is his UFC debut. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
He's fed at welterweight. 3 years younger than Gonzalez. He was far more active landing strikes. 2.3 times more active landing strikes than Gonzalez is. That's based off of one fight. His grappling stats are better than Gonzalez, too, based off that fight. But he did get outstruck on the Contender Series by 1.44 strikes per minute. He's at minus 205, and he was a guest on Dan's Top Turtle MMA podcast this week, for what that's worth. I will take Trevor Peak. Eric Gonzalez has not shown that he's any good. Peak, at least in the regionally, he is good. So I will take him here, even though Gumby has him pegged for a short UFC career based off of your Contender Series exit interview article that you have here.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with Peak 2, but I don't really like the line. What did you say it was again?
Minus 205, no.
Minus 205, yeah. I don't like that line for Trevor Peak, because I'll just say this. When I watched him on the Contender Series, I did think he was kind of pegged for a short career, because this dude's best attribute, like, if you're like, what does Trevor Peak do well? You're like, eat punches and have better cardio than the other guy. and if you go to his regional career, dude, it's not really all that different. Like, that's still the answer. Like, I went back and watched him fight David Robbins. He fought this guy, David Robbins, who was like a hot prospect once upon a time. And like, he wins in a 30-second knockout, but somehow he like looks like he gets stunned 2 or 3 times in the process. You know, he fought Kama Worthy, same thing. Kama Worthy dropped bombs on him in the first round, and he somehow survives it all and gets his own knockout. So, like, dude, his durability mixed with his punching power, it's just like a deadly combination. And it's not like Eric Gonzalez has got some sort of amazing cardio. I think we are writing him off a little bit too quick, right? Because like, he lost to Jim Miller and Terrence McKinney. Like, those are good opponents.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, he doesn't have like put you away power. And I don't think he can keep the same pace as Trevor Peak's going to bring, because Trevor Peak is just going to get in his face and be like, let's throw hands until one of us falls down. And I really think the one that's going to fall down is Eric Gonzalez.
Yep. That's what we're hoping for. So Peak is the pick. Peak is the pick, but the odds are not very good for this fight. Let's move to welterweights. They matched up 2 Canadians against each other. That's not fair. Mike Malott versus Johan Lionaise. Lionaise, White Lion, is 9-1 with 6 knockouts. He's been knocked out once, 1-1 in the UFC, 1-0 in the Contender Series, won his last fight, was a regional champion, 3 inches of reach on Malott. Striking stats better than Malott. However, he has been outstruck over 3 fights, minus 0.97 strike differential. He's at plus 180. Proper Mike Malott, 8-1-1, 4 knockouts, 4 submissions. So he's finished all of his opponents, and he was knocked out in his one loss. So he's gone the distance, I guess, once in the draw that he had. 1-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in the Contender Series. He's won 4 straight fights, all via finish, obviously, because that's what he does. He was 0-0-1 in Bellator, 0-1 on World Series of Fighting, was a regional champion, used to fight at lightweight and featherweight. 2011 pro MMA debut. He also is a pro grappler. He's almost 2 times more active landing strikes than Lionaise is. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.83 strikes per minute. His grappling stats are also better than the White Lions, and he's at minus 220.
My turn. Yeah, I'm gonna take Mike Malott here.
Proper.
You mentioned, you know, only one loss and it being by knockout. That was before his long layoff too. I think people sometimes forget that this is a dude who fought pretty actively for a while until 2017, and then he took 3 years off, 3.5 years off really, and he came back just because CFFC needed somebody on short notice to fight Solomon Renfro. And he blasted Solomon Renfro with a right hand and then choked him out. Did the same thing to Shimon Smotrytski. Did pretty similar thing, minus the submission part, to Mickey Gall. So, like, this is a guy who is, like, kind of found himself again after not fighting for a while. And that one knockout loss should be noted, too, in World Series of Fighting against Hakeem Dawodow. So, like, very high-level competition here. You mentioned his professional grappling experience. He just now grappled Trevin Giles, which, like, you know, maybe Trevin Giles isn't like the biggest name in the world, but like a good wrestler. And it was in Fury, which has a rule set that favors just like top control and stuff like that, doesn't favor submission skills. Then you look at Line Ace. I like Line Ace. I think he's got a lot of potential. He's definitely got a lot of knockout power, but like, he got knocked out by Gabe Green, was clearly getting outstruck in that fight. You know, he barely edged it out against Darian Weeks, gave up a takedown to Darian Weeks. Darian Weeks struck with him. I just think Malott is probably going to be the sharper striker. And if he is actually worried about the power of Line Ace, he just hit takedowns and just like out grapple him, because I think he's like a much better grappler. So, yeah, this is actually one's not all that hard for me to pick. I like Mike Malott here.
Yeah, Mike Malott is the pick. He's far more well-rounded, as you said. He can just grapple himself to victory if need be, but he also can crack as well. So he is the pick in the Battle of the Canadians. Women's flyweight, Tatiana Suarez. She must be a new fighter. I've never heard of her before, versus Montana De La Rosa. As I said, women's flyweight. Monty De La Rosa is 12-7-1, one knockout, eight submissions. Been knocked out once, submitted once, 5-3-1 in the UFC. 1-2-1 over her last four fights. Did lose her last fight. She's 1-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. Used to fight at strawweight. Has missed weight before. Was a regional champion. A wrestling champion. Also, she's 2 inches taller, 2 inches of reach on Suarez. 5 years younger. And she's been outstruck over her UFC career by about half a strike a minute. Minus 0.59. If you want her, plus 540. So have at it. Thabib is the name for Suarez. I guess that's the play on her name and Habib's.
I heard I've heard Shabib before.
Shabib,
too.
Really?
Yeah, like
Shabib.
Maybe. Yeah, I've never heard anybody actually call her that, but yeah. No. Okay. I heard Tati was a nickname for a while.
Yeah, wow, like, that's catchy. I just clued in what Shabib actually meant on the fly here. Pretty good, eh?
Yeah, that's good job there.
Yep. All right. Suarez, 8-0, two knockouts, three submissions, 5-0 in the UFC. Oh, she's not new. Oh, she hasn't fought since June of 2019. That may be why. 3-0 in the Ultimate Fighter and the champion there. Used to fight at strawweight. Was a regional champion. Was a wrestling world champion. BJJ world champion, or medalist, at least in both those sports. Striking differential, striking stats in her favor, and she's almost two times more active landing strikes than De La Rosa is. Grappling stats, obviously, in her favor. She's outstruck her UFC opponents, which was a very good, a murderer's row almost of opponents, by 3.37 strikes per minute. Minus 815, which is a bit better. It was minus 835 last night, Dan. Obviously, I'm taking Suarez. They're giving her a very nice matchup for her. I don't want to say easy, because De La Rosa is tough and a good fighter and experienced at this point, but they're giving her a good stylistic matchup for her return. You know, like, she's fought and beat champions and fantastic fighters already up to this point. Even if she is rusty, her wrestling is not going to go away, and she will be able to take De La Rosa down. Probably will be able to finish her, ground and pound her out. Perhaps De La Rosa relies on her grappling as well, which isn't going to get her very far in this fight. So Suarez is the pick.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely. I think they did a great job matching her up for her return fight to get her you know, feet wet again, because yeah, De La Rosa usually seems kind of like a fish out of water. She's not going to have a grappling advantage here. Tatiana Suarez, for those of you who were, you know, maybe newer to the sport, which, you know, she'd been away for 4 years. So you don't even have to be all that new to the sport to have missed all of Tatiana Suarez's recent career. She landed 9 of 11 takedowns on Carla Esparza, largely seen to be one of the best women's wrestlers in the sport, right? Like, and then, you know, she submitted Alexa Grasso, who's fighting for the title next month. She submitted Alexa Grasso in less than a round, barely half a round. Yeah, she's incredible on the mat. I think if you're looking for a good way to bet this fight, like, look for Tatiana Suarez finish props. You can either take her just straight up inside the distance, or if you want to get fancy, either with a KO or a submission. But I think for sure she's going out there to get the finish. So give me Tatiana Suarez all day.
Yes, Suri, Bob. Yeah, like you said, finishing. I'm sure the finishing lines aren't that great either for her, but
they're surprisingly good.
Oh, okay. Well, it's almost time. It's almost time for us to make our picks there. So we shall see. All right, heavy weights. We are going to talk about next. Augusto Sakai versus Dontel Mays. These are very heavyweights, these two men. Kong Mays. He's just down to Kong now. I thought he was like upgrading each time. He was like King Kong.
I think he downgraded last time because he was
okay.
Yeah, I think he used to be King Kong and now he's just Kong.
All right. He's 9-4, Mr. Kong, Mr. Mays. 9-4 with one no contest, 5 knockouts, 1 submission. He's knocked out once, submitted twice. 2-2 with one no contest in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights. Actually, yeah, he's 2-0 with one no contest over his last 3, actually, is what I'm trying to say. Last fight was a no contest. Or actually, yeah, it was. Last fight was a no contest, but it really was originally an L to
Hamdi Eldahawab.
Yes, who has since been busted for the roids. So it's been a no contest now. So maybe we shouldn't hold it against Mays for losing because he lost to a cheater. Anyhow, he has not officially lost the fight since May of 2020. He was 2-1 on Dana White Contender Series. Yes, he got 3 kicks of the can on the Contender Series. Was a regional champ, 3 inches taller than Sakai, 4 inches reach. He's been outstruck over his Contender Series and UFC career by 0.39 strikes per minute. His grappling stats are better than Sakai's, plus 115. Sakai, 15-5-1 with 11 knockouts. He's been knocked out 4 times, 4-4 in the UFC. All 4 of his knockouts have come over his last 4 fights. He's not won a fight since May of 2020. 1-0 in the Contender Series, 4-1-1 in Bellator. 2011 pro MMA debut, striking stats in his favor over Mays, and he's more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.66 strikes per minute. He's at minus 135, and it's you.
I'm going to go with Dontel Mays.
Me too.
Yeah, and you said slight dog. What was the number again?
115.
Yeah, like some of it's a fade of Sakai, but some of it also is like, you know, like as of late, Mays has done a couple of things well, right? Like, yeah, we didn't love him in that Adahawab fight, but like in the Josh Parisian fight, he put Parisian on his back and he got his own ground game going. In the Roque Martinez fight, he looked better on his feet. And like the only two guys to beat him in the UFC so far are Surreal Gain and Rodrigo Nascimento. And, you know, like obviously we know what Surreal Gain became. Rodrigo Nascimento is only lost to Chris Daukaus. Otherwise, he's 3-1 in the UFC. And both of them did it by taking him down and, like, dominating him on the mat. And, you know, I don't think anybody's under the assumption that Augusto Sakai is suddenly going to become this, like, powerful wrestler who looks good on the mat. Like, apart from, you know, stunning Chase Sherman and getting a ground-and-pound finish there, like, he just wants to stand and trade. And I think that could be a problem against Dontel Mays. I'll also just say, like, I don't want to pay chalk money for a guy on a 4-fight losing streak all by knockouts at heavyweight. That dude's brain's probably mashed potatoes at this point.
Yep. I'm not, I'm always going to fade a guy who's been knocked out 4 times in a row. Mays, like, he has power, but it's mostly ground and pound power, but which I can see that happening here as well. So it's not like he's going to knock him out standing, but
he could knock him out.
He might actually.
He could knock him out standing. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We're agreeing. Mays, get him at dog money. I don't know why he's a dog, but grab him while you can. Also grab some merch. How about you at the SGPN merch store? We continue to add new items to the store every day. It's almost March Madness time, so grab a tie-dye SGP shirt so you can look like Bill Walton. That is one of the new items in the store, so make sure you head to store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com to get your favorite shirts, hats, sweats, and hoodies. All right. Where are we going to move to? Now we're going to move to the co-main event. Andre Middleweights, Andre Muniz versus Brendan Allen. All in, Brendan Allen, get it? Play on his last name and all in. It's actually pretty decent. It's all right.
You think that's an okay nickname?
I approve, sure. It's a pun. I'm all for it.
Yeah, it's great.
Brendan Allen is better than BA being his nickname, or Bren. Allen is 20-5, 20-5. Five knockouts, 11 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 8-2 in the UFC. He's won 3 straight and 5 of 6. He won his last fight via submission. He used to fight at light heavyweight and at welterweight. Won in all the Contender Series. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
A inch of height on Muniz. 5 years younger. He's 2.1 times more active landing strikes, to be exact, than Muniz is. However, he's been outstruck barely over his UFC career by 0.02 strikes per minute. So basically, it's been a wash in the striking category for him, plus 190. Sergio Pano is Muniz's nickname. It's a area in Brazil, right? I believe, or it means, you call someone from an area in Brazil.
Yeah, it's somebody from Sergipe.
Sergipe, yes. So that I take it that's where Muniz is from.
Yes, correct.
I'm smart. He's 23-4, 4 knockouts, 15 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, so that is how he loses. 5-0 in the UFC. 2-0 in the Contender Series. He's won 9 straight fights. Not lost since October 2016. Used to fight at light heavyweight. Regional champion. 2009, debut in pro MMA. 3 inches of reach on Allen. Striking stats better than Allen's. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by about a half a strike a minute. Plus 0.46 is the number. And the number on the board is minus 235. Give me Muniz, the grappling master. Allen's good. So it shows how good Muniz is when you see the line is so tilted in his favor, but it should be. He's a straight killer, a savage, you could say. So give me, and the only way he tends to lose is if he gets knocked out, and Brendan Allen's not really a knockout artist. So give me Muniz.
Yeah, and two things about that. First of all, again, it's important to contextualize those stats. You're right. He only loses when he was knocked out. He was knocked out back when he used to fight at light heavyweight against Azamat Mirzakhanov, who is a pretty damn good light heavyweight, and that was 7 years ago. So he hasn't been knocked out in the last 7 years. It's not really a chin issue for him. And to your point, this dude is an incredible grappler. He's up against the guy who is going to want to get his own grappling going, or typically does, right? Like, maybe he won't want to grapple here, but like, if he chooses not to grapple, I don't think he's going to avoid the grappling of Muniz, or I don't think he's going to, like, you know, he's just going to be grappling on the bottom instead of on the top if he tries to wrestle. I also would note too, you know, like, it shows how good Muniz is that we see a line like negative 235, but that line has moved a lot. It was like negative 185 earlier in this week and in late last week, which means the money is coming in on Muniz. People are liking Muniz. So if you are a Muniz supporter and you do want to get money in on this one, like, maybe sooner rather than later, because like, that number is continuing to grow. People with more and more faith in Muniz. Also, the dude snapped Jacare's arm.
Yep.
Like, you're not going to out-grapple a dude who broke Jacare's arm in the cage. So, yeah, Muniz is a pick here.
Yeah, Muniz, he's fought some names, too, over his UFC career. So,
and outside of his UFC career, too, because, yep, like I said, he fought Azamat Mirzakhanov. I'm pretty sure that fight was in Russia, too, if I'm not mistaken. When he won on Contender Series, which, by the way, he had to win twice, he fought Bruno Assis first, who's done really well for himself in what is it, LFA now, and then he fought Paulo Filho too, the like legend Paulo Filho way back in the day. He was like one of Paulo Filho's last fights, so yeah, like he's fought people, man.
Yep. So we're agreeing on Muniz. We'll be agreeing on the main event. Spoiler, yes, we will, because I flipped again. I flip back to my original pick. Light heavyweights, Nikita Krylov versus Ryan Spann. I will tell you about Superman Spann first. He's 21-7, 6 knockouts, 12 submissions. Been knocked out 3 times, submitted twice. 7-2 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight and 3 of 5. His last 3 wins have come all via finish. He has missed weight before. He was 1-0 in the Contender Series. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
a lot of mantles here. That person who gave us the mantle review is going to enjoy this episode. Used to fight down at middleweight, 2013 pro MMA debut. He's got 2 inches height and 2 inches reach on Krylov. He's one of these guys with the plus minus strike differential of 0.0. So he's been hit as often as he hits his opponents in the UFC and contender series. He's at plus 145. The minor Nikita Krylov, 29-9. He's not too young to fight. It's a different kind of minor, right?
Yes.
He's not like 17 and his parents have to sign for him to fight. No.
Do you remember his OG nickname? I quiz you on this every time he fights, I ask you.
And I never remember. No, I don't, obviously.
It used to be Nikita Al Capone Krylov.
Yes, I do know now. I remember now. See, now you're like my kids. You can be like, how can you not remember? We just talked about this. Nope, I don't remember. I do remember now. Al Capone. I think we're going to call him that. Nikita Krylov. 29-9, 12 knockouts, 15 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted 6 times. 10-7 in the UFC over 2 stints. He's won 2 straight and 3 of 5. Was a regional champion. Used to fight up at heavyweight. 2012 MMA debut professionally. Striking and active striking stats in his favor and grappling stats in his favor over span. He has outstruck his opponents by almost 2 strikes a minute, 1.95. Minus 175 is the number. Is it you? I think it's you.
No, it's you. I just took
It's me. I flipped. I originally was going to take span and then I dove into the numbers and I'm like, nah, I'm going to take Krylov because he's better everywhere. But I've gone back to span because size, athleticism, and power, or as they would say on Heavy Hands podcast, are all cheat codes, and Span will be a cheater in this fight with those three things: power, athleticism, and size. Krylov may be better than him technically striking, and better than him technically grappling, but Span holds his own in both areas, and like I said, size, athleticism, and power is going to carry the day, and we're going to take him. I'm going to take him. I don't know what Dan's taking. I'm going to take him as a nice dog here.
Yeah, I'm also going to take him as you know already, but here's the other thing, too. You said Krylov will be a better grappler. I think sometimes offensively, Krylov is a better grappler than Ryan Spann. 100% correct. But here's the thing. He often slips defensively in terms of his grappling. Like, he sometimes is so single-minded in, like, let's chase submissions and stuff that he actually presents a lot of submissions to his opponents. You know, you mentioned he's lost 6 times by submission in his career. He got caught very obviously by Paul Craig doing some like real stupid things. Jan Blankovic submitted him. Misha Serkinov submitted him. He's one of the victims of the OSP Von Flew chokes. Like, he's just a guy who gets submitted. He got submitted twice by Vladimir Matyushenko before he came to the UFC. Like, he's a dude who makes mistakes in his grappling, and I know everybody thinks of Ryan Spann as this like big, huge power puncher who knocks people out with a jab because that's what he did last time. But low key, he's got a great guillotine choke. Like, we saw it with his fight with Ion Cutelaba. Cutelaba shot a sloppy takedown, guillotine choked, put out immediately. Same thing with Devin Clark. Devin Clark late in that fight shot a takedown, did not protect his neck, got guillotine choked. He did the same thing to get his contract against Emiliano Sordi, who again, Emiliano Sordi is a notable name. This is a dude who had a really good time through the PFL ranking. So yeah, like, I think the likelihood here that Krylov gets knocked out, decent. Likelihood that he shoots a dumb takedown and get guillotined, maybe even bigger. So yeah, give me Ryan Spann here. I think he's got too many ways of putting this fight away, and it's light heavyweight, so somebody's putting it away.
Yep, that's the way it goes. All right, let's recap our picks, and then we'll give you our special plays. We both are in on the underdog, Ryan Spann. We both are in on Muniz. We both are in on another underdog, Mays. I didn't have you locked in on Suarez, but we are both in on Suarez. We're both in on Mawat, and we're both in on Peak. Hey, we're on the same page. I didn't realize this. The whole card, we're green. Fantastic.
Yeah, on that whole main card. But the prelims are different. Go back and listen to them.
Yeah, it's true. The prelims, we were very not on the same page. All right, lock, dog, parlay time, and props. Gumby is going to start since I started last episode, so he's going to start with his lock.
All right, I'm going to start with Mike Mallott, -220. I love the money line on him. I think he's just so well-rounded comparatively to Johan Linhares. I think he just steamrolls him there.
All right, very good. Let me see. I have a pick, but I'm going to check Give me Haley Cowan -125. That's a good line, and she's not fighting anyone that's good. So give me Cowan -125.
She's not fighting anyone who's. She's not fighting anybody who's good. She's only fighting one person, but it's not
one person, and she's not good. No, it's not one of those one-on-two fights or anything like that. No, she's only fighting one person named Eileen Fiona Perez. So yeah, give me Cowan -125. You think that's an okay pick? What do you think?
I think that's an okay pick. I probably like the line more than I like the fighter with that one. Like I contemplated, I contemplated Haley Cowan too, and I contemplated her early in the week when she was like -145. For some reason, there's money coming in on Perez, but you know, I like the line a lot better than I like Haley Cowan as like a surefire thing. With Mike Malott, I like both, so I went with Malott. For my dog play, I'm gonna go Ode Osborne. I think fighting Charles Johnson, short notice. I think Johnson, his guy, he's got to get his wrestling going. I don't know if he will against Ode Osborne. And in addition to that, I worry about the fact that he fought about a month ago. So yeah, give me Ode.
He's got Ode all day at
135.
Yep. All right. And I'll be taking Dontel Mays as my dog +115 over Augusto Sakai. We just spoke about why. Gonna fade a heavyweight who's been knocked out or TKO'd four straight fights. So give me Mays.
I did not see you going there, but I like it. I'm going to go with a prop pick that you undoubtedly are not going to like because you actually went against my money line play here. But I like Gabby Fernandez, who I mentioned I liked on last week's show or last night's show. Gabby Fernandez is a really good fighter. She got very powerful kicks and great submission. She's actually finished two fights in a row. In this fight, you know, on the last show we mentioned, she's -125 to win. But if you like her to finish, which I do here because she is a finisher, she's gone out there and finished a couple in a row, +325 to get her to finish. I think she finishes Jesuda Vicious, and that is a very juicy line.
All right, how much was it again? Sorry,
325 on Fernandez, just inside finish? The distance. That's okay, if we, inside, we don't even have to get cute with how she gets it done.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, what is the number we were talking about earlier? Suarez via TKO? KO?
You want the TKO line?
Yeah, because I think she's going to ground and pound. Oh, I guess she could get a submission too, but what's her finishing line and what's her TKO line, please?
So Suarez inside the distance is +135.
I'm taking that. I don't need to hear anymore.
Can I tempt you with the KO line anyway?
Sure.
+400.
Ooh, fantastic. No, I'll take inside because she could see the dog disagrees with her winning the knockout. So Suarez inside the distance at +135 is the pick for me. So, all right, what do we got here? We'll recap this first. Okay, Gumby's got Malott as his favorite. He's got Osborne as his dog. He's got Fernandez inside the distance. I disagree with that one. I have Cowan my favorite. Mays my dog. Suarez inside the distance.
I like all your picks. I won't disparage any of them.
You're nicer than me. Everyone knows that. All right. Hungry Man Jong, Superfan Parlay, two fights. Going to get us at least 10 times our money. What are your picks?
What if I give you 13 times your money?
Oh, even better. Yeah.
We're getting big. And I'm going to go with your prop pick first. I'm going to go with Tatiana Suarez inside the distance. That's why I had that number right off the top. I think she's going to get it done inside the distance. She's out to prove a point. She finished Grasso. She finished Esparza. Why wouldn't she finish De La Rosa? So, yeah, I'm going to take her inside the distance. I, too, was tempted by the KO prop. But, again, like, there's a chance she just sinks in that rear naked choke when she exhausts De La Rosa. I'm going to pair it with Ryan Spann wins by submission. I actually think he's going to catch that guillotine on the shot from Nikita Krylov. That one's +500, which I think is a pretty absurd line. So pair those two together, and you're going to get 13-10.
Woo-hoo-hoo. I like that. I like both those picks. Fantastic. All right. That is enough for one episode, right?
That seems like enough. Yeah.
We've given you guys more than enough free content. So, all right, we're going to be back. When do we come back? Wednesday. How about we come back on Sunday and we'll recap how we did, which will be amazing is how we did. All right. I recapped everything already, so we can bid you farewell. So that episode 300 in the books. Thank you, everyone, for listening. The Discord, make sure you get in there and you can chat with us about all the fights on Saturday. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Discord. We hang out in the fights channel mostly, but you can find me elsewhere. Gumby, you never really stray out of your your fight channel, do you?
Occasionally during baseball season, I strike.
Okay, right.
Yeah, yeah. Baseball season's not here yet.
Just talk about Braves. Yes. All right. Twitter, SGP and MMA, Jeff Fox, writer, Gumby Vreeland. They're the accounts you should follow. You should listen to the Top Turtle MMA podcast that Gumby hosts with a man with no voice this week. And he has on two people from the, one person we just talked about actually on the main card, Trevor Peak and Jose Johnson on the prelims. He interviews both of them this week. So listen to that. Read sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Obviously, all their stuff's there. All their giveaways are there. All their discounts, sportsbooks are there. Everything you need is there. All the podcasts are there, obviously. And what else do we have? Oh, enter my pick'em contest at the very least. Get it in my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Okay, I'm done. It's up to you now.
All right, I'm David Gumby Vreeland. He's Al Capone, Jeff Fox, and we will see you on Sunday.